We find Mr. Victor Gook and his son, Mr. Rush Gook. The former is established at the library table, busy with some paperwork he's brought home from the office, while the latter, gelatinously athwart the Davenport, somewhat sluggishly glances through a volume of bigger fiction. And at length, after a silence of considerable duration, one of our friends observes,
"That was a funny train of thought."
"What?"
"I just had a comical train of thought."
"Indeed."
"I've got a chunk of apple stuck on my left cheek, and for the past hour I've been planning to stick my tongue out and snake it in. And just when I got the energy all pumped up to go ahead with the operation, my brain's got all kind of warm and sticky and comfortable, and my muscles relaxed, and I wasn't much more than a half wit. Sensation lasted for maybe 20 seconds."
"You're recovered now?"
"Yep." "My brain power returned with a rush, and once again I'm a complete half wit. I mean, I'm a complete whole wit. Do I mean complete whole wit? Do I mean complete whole wit or complete half wit?" "I'll answer my own question. Complete whole wit. Naturally, I'm not any complete half wit, just an ordinary half wit." "Hey, what am I talking about?"
"I thought we agreed not to do any talking at all."
"By George, so we did. I forgot."
"It's like this every time I bring homework from the office."
"Well, I'll give you an explanation as to why."
"Why do I bring homework from the office in the first place? I do it because I figure it's quieter here and that I can concentrate better. You know that. You ought to know it, because I've told you 40,000 times. But no, I bring work home from the office and sit down and try to concentrate. And here's my leather-headed son sprawled on the Davenport mumbling nonsense. What are you doing in the living room anyway?"
"Out."
"Why do you scream out?"
"I've been sitting on my foot and went to sleep. And the supply of blood being cut off from the various arteries, a terrible pang of agony like pins and needles being thrust into my flesh."
"This is the kind of a thing I mean. Consider yourself banished from the house until supper time. Go. We won't talk, we won't argue. We'll simply part on friendly terms and hope that it's
a... Can I help it if I bump my head against the back of the Davenport?"
"Why did you bump your head against the back of the Davenport?"
"I was starting to get up and go away, as you directed. But the minute I stepped on this foot that's been asleep, I began to collapse. And my body lurched crazily at a 45-degree angle, upsetting my equilibrium and causing me to hurtle helplessly."
"Somebody's in the kitchen."
"Oh, lady."
"Uncle Fletcher."
"Oh, my."
"Hello, lady."
"He's coming in. You might as well answer."
"Hello, Uncle Fletcher."
"Well, Vic, honey, old boy."
"I bring homework from the office because I figure it'll be quiet and I can concentrate."
"Mm-hmm."
"I beg your pardon?"
"I beg yours."
"You said something?"
"I felt a cough or a sneeze or something coming on, and I knew any noise like that would infuriate you, so I attempted to block off my larynx and throat and tonsils and epiglottis with my Adam's apple."
"Honey, I'll bet too. I'll be out to know a rush, honey, old boy. Vic, I bet you brought work home from the office. Am I right? If I'm right, let it go. If I'm wrong, look for your word. Rush is a morsel of something on your cheek, apple."
"Why? You going someplace, Uncle Fletcher?"
"No.
I asked because I noticed you're carrying your valise."
"Why, yeah. I forgot. A numbskull fan hit valise. Completely slipped my mind." "I am going someplace."
"Where are you going?"
"Here."
"I see."
"I'm going here."
"You are here."
"Who is here?"
"You are."
"I am here."
"Sure you're here."
"This is no place for the tiny tots, Rush, honey. Go down cellar."
"I brought work home from the office so I could have it quiet and concentrate."
"Seeing this valise in my hand, Vic, reminds me that I am in a towering jury. I have come over here to stay with you a few days."
"Oh, is that so?"
"I am in open rebellion against my landlady."
"Has Mrs. Keller laid down the law?"
"Mrs. Keller has overstepped the mark. Mrs. Keller has piled on the straw that broke the camel's back. Mrs. Keller, like the needle's eye, has torn the serpent's tooth from the ungrateful child."
"I expect she is."
"Go down, Father Rush. This conversation is not for the tiny tots. This conversation is strictly for the grown-ups. Go down, Father, should I say. Vic, you go down, Father, too."
"Huh?"
"I mean, you stay here."
"Okay, I believe I will."
"Rush, just stay here also."
"Okay."
"But there's nothing about this conversation which is not suitable for a child to hear."
"Well,
Vic, go down, Father."
"Hey, Uncle Fletcher, aren't you a little off your knocking?"
"Any man with me off their noggin."
"Well, what'd your landlady do?"
"What'd my landlady do, that wretch?"
"Here's
Mamma." "What's my landlady do, you say?"
"No, I say, here's Mamma."
"That's rich."
"Oh, for Pete's sake, Uncle Fletcher."
"I won't disturb you what happened in it, then."
"Disturb me a whole minute. Disturb me a minute and 40 seconds."
"Was that in there with you, Uncle Fletcher?"
"Yeah."
"And me, Ma."
"Oh, are you being distracted from your work, Dad?"
"Yeah."
Good afternoon, Uncle Fletcher."
"Good afternoon, Sadie, honey. I have here my valise, and I am availing myself of your
You're not in your father.
Well, it's a long story, Ma. But I think I can make the whole thing clear in 10 minutes of rapid explanation. In the first place...
Well, I'll say what I come in to say, Dick, and then I'll see if I can't shoo this crowd out of here.
Okay.
I just met Mr. Erickson out in the alley. See, that lad managed to get a hold of lumber for a new railing for our front porch, and the carpenters will be here in the morning.
Well...
And he says it'd be a great job if we knocked the old railing loose and tore it off. Then the carpenters could start right in with the construction work without any fooling around. They're awful, awful busy this summer, and Mr. Erickson could only hire them for 5 hours. He thinks they can put us up a new porch railing in 5 hours, but it'd be dandy if we had the old one ripped out so they wouldn't have to bother with trash we could take care of.
Rush and I will look into the matter after supper.
Oh, I can rip out that old porch railing myself. The wood is so rotten it crumbles like pie crust.
All right, fine. Now that's settled. Can we leave now, Uncle Fletcher, you and I and Raj? Vic's busy with work he brought home from the office. What you say we three go out in the back steps and sit in the shade?
Excuse me. Lady, honey. Conditions at the establishment where I maintain accommodations have become intolerable.
You've had another run-in with your landlady, huh?
I have had a terrible run-in with my landlady.
And you want to stay here a few days?
I may want to stay here a week.
Well, you know that won't work, Uncle Fletcher. You know Miss Keller always comes and gets you and makes you go back home.
You know what Miss Keller has done this trip, lady?
No, but let's go out in the backyard and discuss it.
My landlady, Miss Keller, is leaving tonight for a visit with her brother, Charlie.
Well, let's go outdoors and sit in the nice breeze and talk. Then Dick can go ahead with his work.
My landlady, Miss Keller, plans to be gone until next Thursday afternoon. 5 days she plans to be gone. And you want to know what she's done?
Not until you and I and Rush are outdoors sitting on the back step.
He's laid out my meals for me.
I'm sorry, Vic.
Oh, not at all. He's laid out my meal for me, Sadie. Vic and Rush, honey.
Well, I don't believe I quite understand just what you mean by that, Uncle Fletcher.
My meals. She's laid them all out for me to eat. My suppers I'll eat downtown at the restaurant because in the evenings I require hot food.
You mean while Miss Keller is away this
thing? Of course I am. Distributed all over the numbskull house. And up to 10 meals, also. You see, there's breakfast and dinner tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's eight. And breakfast and dinner on Tuesday. Two more. She gets back home Thursday afternoon. 10 meals, also. And them meals are distributed all over the side hill house.
What are you talking about, Uncle Fletcher?
My meals, my meals. I expect you know what meals is.
I have a rough idea, but
I know what you mean.
Go on, fella.
Who are you talking to?
Rush, go down, fella. No. Listen, I tried to tell you people something.
Well, you better try to tell it without yelling.
My tomorrow morning's breakfast, Miss Keller has got laid out all meat and appetizing for me at home on the kitchen table.
Well, what's the matter with that?
Would you listen?
Sure.
My tomorrow's dinner, she's got set out on the dining room table, covered with a napkin and looking mighty tasty.
Well, I don't see what you object to in that. I don't
keep
see
out of it,
on.
Willie.
Saturday's breakfast is on the library table in the living room. Saturday's dinner is on the numbskull sideboard. Sunday's breakfast is laid out on top of the buffet. And Sunday's dinner is on a tray in the lame brain lit with pantry. Monday's breakfast sits on my dresser up in my bedroom. And Monday's dinner is put like a numbskull pair of a doggone fathead piano stool. Tuesday's
what? Well, are you complaining?
What?
Are you complaining?
What, Vic?
Pay attention a minute. Are you complaining?
I'm complaining because my landlady must come and treat me like a child. I can fix my own meals. I don't have to have my meals scattered all over the premises like leaves in the autumn.
Now, Miss Keller arranged your meals like that because she was apprehensive you might get into trouble if you fixed them for yourself.
Why would I get into trouble?
Oh, sharp, Rednard. Electricity. Gas escaping from the gas stove. Forget to leave the ice box open and the ice all melt and the food spoil. Millions of things could happen to a gentleman at home 5 days preparing his own meals.
How are you, half-witted numbskull?
I'm not insinuating that.
Well, Miss Keller went on a visit and stayed a year. Would she leave a year's meal strewn around the house?
How many days in a year, Rush? 365.
What's twice 365?
I don't know.
Around 700?
Yeah.
How'd you like to have 700 meals cluttered up over available chairs, tables, piano stool, windowsill, sideboard, busway, dress?
Oh, wish, Uncle.
Yeah, oh, wish. Listen, I'm the fathead that pays the rent, ain't I?
Yes, and Miss Keller is the fathead that owns the house.
Oh, show Mrs. Keller that I have been a firstborn enough.
I bet you don't show Miss Keller nothing. And I bet Miss Keller will be over here directly and chew you on home.
Sure, she'll be here directly. I'm surprised she's not here now. Lady, honey, when she arrives, I'm going to show her that I am a vilest man.
Yeah?
I'm going to kick your front porch railing to smithereens.
Yeah?
I heard what you told Vic about that front porch railing.
Mr. Erickson wants it ripped loose and torn off.
Exactly. So the carpenters can start right out in the morning building a new one.
Uh-huh.
I will kick that rotten old front porch railing to smithereens. I will show Mrs. Keller that I am a violent man.
You're going to have a terrible fit of temper and do that?
Yes.
supposes any objections, I say?
None in the world. In fact, I'm interested.
So am I. Let us all step out on the front porch. Those colors should arrive at any moment.
Are you coming, Dad? You bet you're right. Well, what about the work you brought home from the office?
Oh, I think you did it.
Back to you, Rex.
You talking about your landlady?
No, I'm talking about that numbskull porch railing. Jives and beehawks are joints. When I rear back my leg and kick that railing clean out into the yard, the jives and the lumber will part from the beehawks and the lumber. It'll sound like 46 rusty nails being flushed out of a scaffold.
Is your thought to become emotionally upset while chatting with your landlady and go through this violent performance, Uncle Fletcher?
I'm going to show her I am a violent man.
She knows you're no violent man.
She don't know it for sure.
I heard the kitchen screen door open. That's color by George.
Oh, she wouldn't be coming in the back way. I expect it's Rush.
Oh, where'd he go, by the way? I thought he was still around under some foot.
Oh, turn it off a few minutes ago. Never even noticed him leave myself.
My landlady, Miss Color, don't know for sure I'm not a violent man. She knows I'm a talkative man, of course.
Yes, probably does.
Miss Good, are you upstairs?
Well, friend Sprawl.
Hello, Mr. Sprawl.
Hey.
We're out here on the porch.
Yes.
Who's that, Sprawl from across the alley?
Uh-huh.
He's liable to come up to work.
Oh, I don't think so. Come on out, Mrs. Sprawl.
Yes.
Hello, Sprawl.
Yes.
I expect you got your pockets full of them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside.
No.
Sit down, Mr. Sprawl.
Yes.
Pleasant afternoon.
I got my pockets full of them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside.
Oh, my.
Peanuts with chocolate spread on outside is good.
Yes, they certainly are.
My daughter Florence, I guess she's not here.
No, she isn't, Mrs. Sprawl.
Yes.
You're an agreeable sport, Sprawl.
Yes.
Always saying yes.
Yes.
Don't you ever say no?
Yes.
Oh, here's our dear little child.
What's she carrying?
Looks like a card table and some kind of a stool.
Yes.
I got a card table and a stool.
For the boy.
Yeah.
Where are you going with that junk, Sam?
I brought these for Uncle Fletcher. The card table belongs to Miss Harris, and it's busted, and she's throwing it in the garbage. The stool was formerly the property of Rufus Johnson, but it's no good, and it won't stand up unless you prop it up, and you give it to me.
Oh, Mrs. Brock.
Yes.
You say you brought those articles for me, Rush?
To help you impress your landlady.
Yes.
Oh, dry up, Sprawl.
Yes.
Look, Uncle Fletcher, this card table barely holds together. You can give it a blow with your fist after Miss Keller arrives, and it'll collapse like a hot water bottle.
Nice touch, Jeanette.
Sure. And this stool is another nice touch.
Won't stand up unless you prop it up, huh?
No.
I heard me a funny joke down the store just now when I piled a peanut through the chocolate smeared on outside.
Oh? What joke was that?
The conductor on a train, he comes through the vestibule, he asked the traveling salesman for his ticket.
Uh-huh.
I heard me that joke when I was in the store just now, piled a peanut through the chocolate smeared on outside.
That's all the jokes?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Hey, there's been no jokes that funny in a long time.
Yes. See, Uncle Fletcher, the table's all fixed for you to hit it with your fist, and the stool is in a position where it'll collapse at your slightest infuriated movement.
I'll emphasize 3 points, Mrs. Keller.
Sure.
I'll emphasize 1 point where I send the card table crashing to the floor.
Uh-huh.
I'll emphasize 1 point where the snitwit stool goes trickling off into space.
Uh-huh.
And I'll emphasize my third and last point by hauling back my foot and kicking the fathead porch rail halfway across the lawn. That's the screeching of the eyes as they get ripped loose from the people.
Yes.
That lady will realize that lying long length in Uncle Fletcher that you're a caged tiger.
At least he will see that I am a violent man.
There'd be another funny joke here 20, 30 years ago, Miss Good.
Well.
Hey, wasn't that a funny joke?
You didn't tell it.
Yes.
My landlady must tell her. Miss Keller should learn a lesson this afternoon. She should learn.
Hey, here she is, Uncle Fletcher. Miss Keller herself coming up the street.
Why, sure enough.
Yes, indeed. She little realizes she is venturing into a cage of frenzy boa constrictors.
Well, let's not make this too crazy and ridiculous.
I'm glad I brought my work home from the office.
Uh-huh.
It's quiet here at home, and a man can concentrate on his work.
My daughter Florence coming up the sidewalk.
No, Mr. Sproul, that's another lady.
That's my daughter Florence.
It's Uncle Fletcher's landlady.
Yes. Good afternoon, Miss Garland.
I'm proud of you up there on the porch.
Hello, Miss Kelly.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, it is grand, Miss Kelly. Come on up and sit down.
Drive is saying,
Miss Keller, ma'am, I respectfully doff my hat to you.
Am I a violent woman?
You are one of the most violent women on the face of the earth.
And you're proud to have me as your landlady?
And I'm proud to have you as my landlady.
I give that porch railing one healthy kick, didn't I?
You give that porch railing one healthy kick? The giants and beehawks, they screeched and groaned as they were slipped loose from their moorings.
You eat the breakfast and dinners I set out for you at home?
With the greatest pleasure, ma'am.
You won't complain any more of trivial matters?
No.
Mr. Sproul is still looking at me with his eyes bugging out.
Yes. You never seen a lady tear loose and kick a porch railing clean out into the yard.
I bet you never did either.
No, I never.
I'm so happy I brought my work home from Dawson. I'd have missed all this.
Yes. Did you stop your shoe when you gave that tremendous kick, Miss Keller?
Oh, I really shot more than I kicked.
Oh?
I'd better tell you something.
All right.
On my way over here, I met your landlord coming along Virginia Avenue.
Miss Erickson?
Yes. We stopped and chatted for maybe 5 minutes.
Oh, you don't know about the porch?
I can't tell what you say with so many talking. But I bet you're asking me if we talked about the porch railing.
Yes.
We did, Mrs. Frost.
Yes.
We got to talking about the availability of lumber and labor and one thing and another. And he mentioned you people.
And he said we had carpenters coming in the morning?
Yes. He said Mr. and Mrs. Brooke had carpenters coming in the morning to build a new front porch railing. And when I said I was on my way over to call on Mr. and Mrs. Brooke, he asked me to tell you it'd be nice if you could find time to rip off the old porch railing before the carpenters arrived.
Well.
So you never kicked that tremendous kick in a clumsy fit of fury after all, did Mom?
No, I didn't.
It was a piece of a kick, just the same.
Thank you.
I admired that kick.
So did I. Me too.
Yes.
And Mrs. Keller, ma'am, I'm giving you credit for being a violent woman, even though your terrible burst of uncontrollable fury was a put-up job.
Oh, I couldn't possibly accept credit.
Nevertheless, I give it.
All right.
You are a very violent woman.
Thank you very much.
I will eat the breakfast and dinners you have prepared with humility and submission.
I think you'll enjoy them.
I know I will. And I wish you a pleasant journey to Dismal Sea with you higher. And I trust you find your brother in good health. Please convey to him my most gracious felicitations.
I'll do that.
Well, have we transacted all our business?
I think so.
I must get back in the house and dive into the work that I brought home from the office.
Oh, and I start picking up stuff, the broken card table, the stool, all that lumber out in the yard.
Okay.
Is everybody leaving?
I'll have to travel on home.
I'll fetch my valise and go with you.
All right.
Well, friends, we had a brisk afternoon of it.
Yes.
And now we must part.
Yes.
It is city.
Are you leaving, Mrs. Frost?
Yes. I just swallowed my last peanut with a chocolate spread on outside, and I'm ready to go home.